Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
again.
I tell you.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Welcome to another edition of the Hebrew Israelite Elders Show. And we are the elders of the Hebrew Israelite Nation. I am Elder Eliah. We have with us Ima Ahaya. Good evening, Ima. How you doing?
I'm doing well this evening, and hopefully everybody that's listening is doing pretty well themselves. If not, be of good cheer. because Yahuwah has you in his arms. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And, well, Yahuwah has seen fit for us to be back with our listeners for another episode. Hallelujah. To be yielded vessels for him. Hallelujah. Last week we were talking specifically to our brothers, our Israelite brothers, a.k.a. our black brothers. Hallelujah. African American, Negroes, whatever byword you want to use. Hallelujah. Other than Israelite. Hallelujah. And we covered some good ground. Hallelujah. We thank you, Ua, for that. And if God's willing, we're going to try to go ahead and bring the conclusion of that message. Just a little something, disclosure. When Yahuwah was giving me this message, initially I felt like, you know, using, as they say in the Pentecostal movement, you know, the fire and brimstone, really bringing down the wood. Just that's the spirit I was in. But right before the broadcast, the Ruach HaKodesh halted me and said, made me go on my knees. No, you need to give this more spirit of love and consideration, because this message is for all of us, all of us who fit the category of black men, young and old alike. So in other words, while we're speaking to others, we're talking to ourselves too. Specifically, I'm talking to myself. So, yeah, sometimes even I need the wood. Everybody needs the wood sometime. But so-called black men, a.k.a. Negro, African-American, we've been hit over the head enough, you know, been enough damage done. We need reconstruction. We need to reconstruct, rebuild the damage that's been inflicted on us. We're not trying to pull any punches and sugarcoat anything, but we don't need to do the old fire and brimstone approach, like, you know, like I'm sitting way up high on the pulpit and just hammering down on, you know, the lowly, guilty ones, the guilty parties, as if I myself am not guilty of the same things, which I surely am. So that's the approach we use, and I guess that's the approach, unless the Most High changes, that's the approach we're going to try to finish with. Hallelujah. So we started with the beginning, the covenant, and fully understand it, if you don't know who we are as a people, who the so-called black people are, African-American, Negroes, and some other degrading bywords they use, if you don't know who we are as a people, I'll just say this. We are the true descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Jacob, and specifically of the lineage of Jacob. As you know, Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. We are of the lineage of Jacob. His name was changed to Israel. So, what they call Israel? Israelite. So that's who we are, Israelite. Any and everything else is a byword. Negro, black, Afro-American, African-American, colored, yes, all those back in the day, nigger, all the other things. All of those words are bywords, and it's written right in prophecy. They said they're going to be astonished by the bywords that we are called. And boy, have we been called some bywords. Everything but who we really are and whose we really are. I'm going to pull up a scripture in Deuteronomy 28. It's going to give a little clarity on these bywords. So these bywords here, you can find them in Deuteronomy chapter 28. See? I mean, and this is everything that's supposedly, what they call the curses, starts at verses verse 16, it goes through verse 68, the end of the chapter. And there's so many of them. If you don't know exactly where they are, you have to comb, but I'm going to find it. It says that we were called by words. I'm going to find it. Okay, so, but we were talking about the covenant. We have to go back to Yahuwah made his covenant with our foreparents, our forefathers. He made the covenant with them. Moshe was basically the agent. Yahuwah told Moshe, hey, tell your people if. What is if? That's a condition, additional word. Tell them if they do this, and we'll fill in the blanks later. If they do this and do this, then I will make them this kind of people. I will do this for them. We'll fill in those blanks. And Moshe did what the Most High, Yahuwah, said. He went and told our ancestors. He says, hey, I just heard from the creator of heaven and earth. And he wants to make a deal with us as a people. He's chosen us out of all the nations and tribes of the land, of the earth. And he said, here's the terms. He says, if you as a people would do this and this, that he will do these things for you. And we read what those are, and those are in Exodus chapter 19. Exodus chapter 19 is right before one of the most popular chapters in the entire Bible, Exodus 20. And what do you find in Exodus 20? The Ten Commandments. Everybody talks about the Ten Commandments, even wicked people, wicked nations. You see wordings of the Ten Commandments in the United States Supreme Court. You see it on top of the old library, the old Gothic architectural libraries. They have some of the writings of the Ten Commandments. You'll see the Ten Commandments everywhere. Some Christian organizations, like the Seventh-day Adventist, SDA, use the Ten Commandments as their tenets, as their religion. So, but the Ten Commandments is very popular. Exodus 20 is very popular, but fail to remember one chapter prior to chapter 20. Chapter 19 specifically, Exodus 19, it's the foundation. That's where it all started from. And if I was having computer problems. And when I pull this up, we're just going to do a quick recap. We kind of did a detailed last week, but we're going to do a quick recap of what this is all about, what this foundation is all about. So, here's the recap, chapter 19, and starting at verse 3. And Moses, went up unto Yahuwah, and Yahuwah called unto him out of the mountain, saying, and here's what he's telling Moses to do. He said, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob and to the children of Israel, ye have seen what I have done, what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice, okay, if, let's start back at that if, that's the first condition. Now, therefore, ye will obey my voice indeed. And, here's another one, keep my covenant, okay, and he's going to establish the covenant. He's going to say what the terms and conditions of the covenant is. He's saying, keep my covenant. It's another. He says, then, that if then. So if you do this, then here will be the results for you. And the results are good. It said, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure. That's what we're going to supposed to get out of it as a nation, people. Then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me, listen, above, say beneath, he didn't say on the same level, but he say above all, A-L-L, that's Nobody's exempted. Above all, no exceptions, above all people, for all the earth is mine. Okay, he's got more. Verse 6, and ye, he's talking about us, and ye shall be unto me. Now, this deals with the purpose and function of what we are, of what we are supposed to be as a people. Functional part. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. We're supposed to have priestly duty. Priests. Okay, so what do just take an earthly analogy, what do a Catholic priest do in his with his parishioners? He leads, guides, instructs in spiritual matters for his parishioners, informs them, instructs them, counsel, guides, spiritual matters. Basically, like he's an agent or representative of the Most High. He said, and you're going to be a holy nation, a set apart. So we were never supposed to intermingle and blend in and everything. I'm not just talking about, you know, intermarriage and everything. I'm talking about blending into the cultures of these other nations, you know, doing what they do, picking up their norms, habits, bad habits. We were not supposed to intermingle. Intermingle means more than just sexual relations or marital relations. Intermingling thoughts and ideas, your morals, your values. We didn't supposed to pick up there. What did Jeremiah tell us? Jeremiah said, learn not the ways of the heathen. That means we don't supposed to observe and emulate the other nation. If anything, what Yahuwah is telling us in verse 6, he said, they're supposed to learn from you and emulate you as a people in our good ways, in the ways of righteousness. Remember, we have priestly duties. We're supposed to, you know, people say, oh, you guys are good in sports and you guys are good in dancing and music. Okay, that's fine. You want to learn how to throw a ball and run, that's good. It's not going to get you into the kingdom. You know, you want to learn how to dance, it's not going to get you into the kingdom. So that's what the nations look to us for now. You know, oh, look how they're dressing. It. Got the pants down, sagging. You know, now you got other races, other people in the suburbs, in the cities, pulling down their pants, sagging every day. You know, rap started as a conscious movement. Now, I'm talking about the rap as we know it, because the rap that supposedly started in New York, our people have been rapping way before that. It wasn't called hip-hop, but let's just call it the rap as we know it, which is called hip-hop. Supposedly started in New York, out of the Bronx, right? Okay, so by young black people, young black men and women. So now just about every nation and tongue has got their own form of rap and hip-hop, you know. So that's like what the nations are emulating us for in these days and times, but that's not what Yahuwah, that's not what he declared that we're supposed to be. Yes, he said emulate us, but in righteousness. He made us a priestly nation, a priestly tribe. He said, you should be unto me a kingdom of priests. We're to be his representatives here on earth, his ambassadors, his messengers, his mouthpiece. And we are not to intermingle our ways, our cultures, our norms and values. We are to be a holy, set-apart nation. These are the Most High's words. Exodus 19, verse 6. And then, just as I said, that these are Most High's words. Verse. It says, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So, did Moses obey? Sure he did. Verse 7. And Moshe came and called for the elders of the people. Who were the elders? They were just representatives of the people. So, you know, instead of speaking to 1.5 million people or so, he spoke to a group that was representative. I don't know how many elders in particular he spoke to. Let's say he spoke to 100 elders. So these elders came from the various tribes of Israel. So just like we have Congress today, two senators in the United States, at least two senators for each state, and depending on the population of these states, they have so many members of in the House of Representatives per state. Big state like California, they have a ton of representatives. Then you might have a small state like Rhode Island, they might only have a couple of representatives. So it goes by the population. So he got this representative group called the elders, and he told them all that Yahuwah had spoken. Okay, so they got a choice to make. They could either agree to it, or they could reject it, or they could try to bargain, make amendments to it. You know, say, we like this part, but we don't like this part. But to their credit, hallelujah, they accepted all the terms and conditions that the Most High laid down. Because it says that Moses came and called for the elders and laid before their faces all the words which Yahuwah had commanded. And what did they do in verse 8? And all the people answered together. But this was unanimous. Two of 100 elders, this wasn't something like 80 of them agreed and 20 disagreed. This was a unanimous decision. It says, and all the people answered together and said, all that Yahuwah has spoken, we will do. Hallelujah. Got to give the elders credit on that. And Moshe returned the word of the people. Said, and Moshe, where am I at? I'm sorry. And Moshe returned the words of the people unto Yahuwah. Okay? So, there we go. The Most High made an offer. He said, you do tell the people, if they do this, I'll do this. Moshe went and told the people. The people said, okay, we agree to that. We want those. We'll take that deal. We like it. Go back and tell the Most High, we accept unanimously. Nobody in disagreement. We all want it, all 12 tribes. Moshe went and took it back. That's the covenant. That's the foundation we stand on as a people, those that they call the Negroes. Yes, you might have some other groups in the world who says, well, you know, hey, what about some people who are living in the so-called Middle East? Well, I'll say, what about them? We're talking about the true Israelites. We're not talking about, tell you, we're not pulling no punches. It's too much information. Daniel chapter 12 says, in these times, in the last days, knowledge will be increased. The cat's out of the bag. Sorry, not sorry. We're not going back to foolishness. We know who the people are. I would like to see every nation come together with the wisest minds out of each nation and tongue on earth and look clearly as a people in their history and say, okay, look at this template in Deuteronomy 28. Does this fit our people? The blessings, if we kept his word, and that's a big if, because everybody says, well, we don't fit none of the curses, the penalties, because this covenant that I just read to you, see, we're going to go over to Deuteronomy 28, and you're going to see what happened when our people are in compliance. That means when they're doing what the Most High said to do, way back here in the foundation, chapter 19 of Exodus, they're going to be blessed. The benefit, you're going to see the benefits of that covenant. It pays out benefits. And those benefits could be found in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. Same hand, if our people renege, they disobey, and they do not hold up their end of the bargain. In other words, if they sin or they transgress against the terms of the covenant, then you will see what will come into play in verses 15 through 68. Those called the penalties are the curses. Every group has to be sincere and honest, because you might have a group that looks like they're doing very well in the earth. Oh, as far as finances, education, power, political power, prestige, esteem, everything, looks like they're at the top. And people might tend to think, because people think in the flesh, oh, well, this got to be the people. Okay, so they got all this. They're the lenders. They're not the borrowers. They're above in this world system, and they're not beneath. And you say, look, it says it right there in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 14. It says they'll be above and not beneath. It says this, and they say, if you kept the covenant. And they say, well, maybe they did keep it. Well, maybe that's a lie. Let's go to Daniel. We're going to clear something up, because this is important. Let's go to Daniel chapter 9. Very easy stuff. This is not calculus. This is basic math. Okay. So before you get carried away and say, well, these people, look, they got the most money, they're blessed. Well, people who are called true Israel, let's see if they kept their end of the bargain. We're going to let the word answer that. Daniel chapter 9, verse 11. It says, yea, I love this word they use next, all. A-L-L. That word was used in the original covenant back in Exodus chapter 19. That means there's no exception, no exemption. All. It says, yea, all Yisrael, so all the descendants of Jacob, Jacob, of all of Yisrael have transgress thy law. That means they reneged on the covenant. They sinned their end of the deal. All Israel have transgressed thy law, thy covenant. What law was that? That was that covenant back in Exodus 19. You know that chapter that so many people just pass over and go right to that famous chapter, Exodus 20. And rightfully so, it has the Ten Commandments. I mean, come on, that's a cornerstone of the scripture for us as a people. Is not our cornerstone the foundation of the covenant? We're talking foundational things here. What is not more foundational than the foundation of the covenant, the very inception? So we know what was the terms and conditions. We know if we transgressed and didn't hold up our end, that we will be subject to the penalty. I'm just going to read a few, because there's a lot. It's like 5, 6, 7 times more penalties or curses than there are benefits. So it says, all Israel have transgressed thy law. It's going to give you more clarity, even by departing. See, they turned away from it. And guess what they turned to? What Jeremiah told them not to. They turned and started looking at other nations and wanting to be like them, wanting to sin like them, wanting to enjoy the pleasures of sin like them. Because he said they departed. They didn't just disobey. They departed. Even the Most High, even his ways have a culture to it. It's a culture of his own. It's a culture of righteousness. But we didn't want that culture of righteousness. We had our own culture. We looked over at the other nations and said, wow, look like they're having fun. What are they doing? We don't do well. One thing, they got a king. Well, we have a king. You know, that's the Most High. But how about a flesh and blood man king like they got? That's what we want. They're doing all kind of perverted things. That's what we want to do. On and on. So we departed from the culture of righteousness. We departed from the covenant. Even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Remember he said, if you obey my voice, keep my commandments. He said, that they might not obey thy voice. After a while, you can't even hear his voice. Now, since they did that, it says their penalty, therefore the curse, not the blessings, not the benefit part. So that crosses out. You look in and say, well, surely it can't be these Negroes over here. They're at the bottom of the barrel. I mean, economically, you know, economically, politically, you know, morally, it looks like. I mean, you know, every baby they have, 9 out of 10 are out of wedlock and this and that. They're last in education. You know, it can't be them. It would be somebody last. It would be people at the top of their game, financially speaking, you know, education, you know, people of renown. You know, like they used that term back in Genesis Chapter 6, men of renown, important, prestigious people. Surely it will be them. Hold on. That's what you put in your mind, but that's not what the Most High said. It said, therefore, not the blessings, not the benefits, but the curse, the curses, the penalties is poured out upon them, upon us. It says, and the oath that is written in the law of Moshe, the servant of Yahuwah. And it says, why? Because I love the Most High's wording. Because it's inclusive. He tells you what he's doing. He tells you what he did. And then he gives you why. He didn't have to. He could say, curses poured out upon you. He says, right at the end, it says, because we have sinned against him. And that's through the prophet Daniel's mouth. Because. Who is an Israelite himself, because we have sinned against him. So we know exactly which side of the fence the true Israelites, the covenant, therefore they will be a people you would look for, have all the blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14, you would see all these blessings, huh? All these blessings. Okay, let's give you a little taste. Give you a little taste. It says, it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of Yahuwah, thy mighty one, to observe and to do all his commandments, that covenant, which I have commanded thee this day, that Yahuwah will set thee on high, you know, just like he said back in the beginning, shall set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Listen to this. And all these blessings, all of these benefits, shall come on thee and overtake thee. And thou shalt hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah. If you shall hearken to the voice of the covenant, you hold up your hand and say, blessed shalt thou be in the city, blessed shalt thou be in the field, blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Today, that just translates everything you touch. You know, like they say, the Midas touch will turn to gold, theoretically speaking. You'll be successful in all you go to do. Your business will be successful. Your home will be successful. Your marriage will be successful. Your children will be blessed. Posterity will continue on. down the line through generation. It says, blessed shall thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. Yahuwah shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy kept you in the bargain and obtained the benefit, the blessing. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Yahuwah shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand to do. Just like I said a few seconds ago, everything that you set out to do will be blessed. Money will not be a problem. Finances, you will prosper in politics. You will prosper in education. You will prosper in your careers, your marriages. Everything you set out to do will be blessed. And he shall bless thee in the land which thou, in the land which Yahuwah, thy mighty one, giveth thee. Yahuwah shall establish thee and holy people unto himself. You won't have to be looking and, you know, salivating over other people with how their lives are, how their culture is, and how much superior it is to yours. No, it will be the opposite. They would do that to you. He says, as he hath sworn to thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of Yahuwah, thy mighty one, and walk in his ways. Listen to this. There's going to be even some envying going on. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of Yahuwah, and they shall be afraid of thee. You know, that's respect. Yeah, afraid, but to have high esteem, high respect. Man, this people is at the top, man. You can't touch them. It says, and Yahuwah shall make thee plenteous in good. We won't lack anything. You won't be staying in the ghettos and needing Section 8, all of this. It says, he shall make thee plenteous in all these things, in the fruit of thy body and in the fruit of thy cattle, fruit of thy ground, and in the land which Yahuwah swear unto thy fathers to give thee. Yahuwah shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, whatever thy set out to do. And thou shalt lend. Okay. This right here, it could just tell it all. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. Okay? That's if you kept that covenant. Now, Dan, you say the people who didn't. The true Israelites did not keep it. So now you kept it, though. You would be the lender, and thou shalt not borrow. You won't be the borrower. And Yahuwah shall make thee the head and not the tail. And thou shalt be above only. In the seats of power, you're going to be at the top, not the bottom. Thou shalt be above only and shalt not be beneath. If thou hearken unto the commandments of Yahuwah thy mighty one, which I command thee this day to observe and to do, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Okay, so all of these benefits, these blessings, would be yours if you, the real Israelites, didn't. So all that I just read to you, if you're looking for the Israelites, don't look for those attributes. See? So some people have been looking for those attributes, and they've been ascribing these attributes as belonging to the true people of Israel. But Scripture just told you and Daniel, the true people of Israel are not going to show those attributes because they reneged, they broke the covenant. They, matter of fact, they turned their backs on it. They turned away. They turn to idol things, things wherein there is no profit. So don't even look that way. Don't look for people who's riding high on the benefits and the blessings. Well, you say, what do I look for? Well, here's what you look for, team. But it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah thy mighty one, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these penalties, curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. What did Daniel say? Daniel 9, verse 11. All Israel have transgressed. All Israel transgressed. I need to read it verbatim. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, thy covenant, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse, remember that word, the curse is poured out upon us because we have sinned against that. Okay, say the curse. Look what Deuteronomy say. It says, it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken to the voice of Yahuwah, that all of these curses shall come upon thee. Curses, curse. Curse was in Daniel. Curse here back in Deuteronomy. These will be the penalties. Curse shall thou be in the city. Curse shall thou be in the field. Don't worry. Don't sweat. I'm not going to read all 68. Curse everything. The flip, let's just slide down the first 14 verses. Everything your hand set out to do, you're going to pretty much be unsuccessful. As a people, we're not talking about outliers. You know, those who, if you got a bachelor's degree, you most likely, even if you don't, depending on how far you went in math, you took statistics, and you know how to do surveys and everything. You know, when you're dealing with a population, a sample group, and you say, well, you know, the main group of people for this particular people, they like to eat hot dogs. You know, 95% like to eat hot dogs. But then you got this 2% that hate hot dogs. So just because you got this 2% that hate hot dogs, you can't say that population group, that sample group, you can't say, well, no, the average person, let's just say average person that lives in the state of Idaho, you can't say, well, the average person that lives in the state of Idaho don't like hot dogs, even though the survey showed that 98% of them crazy about hot dogs, but 2% absolutely hate them. Matter of fact, they're allergic to them, break out in hives. You can't use that and say, well, it's false. State of Idaho like hot dogs. It's not false. It's true. You're looking at the outlier, the exception. You know how people say that's the exception, not the rule? You're looking at the exception. So what's the exception? LeBron James is a millionaire. Michael Jordan's a millionaire. Oprah Winfrey. Okay. I'll put it this way. For every Oprah Winfrey that's making $1 billion, you got a 10 million Quishas and another 10, 20 million Tyrones who were below the poverty line. So what are you going to look at? That 0.00001%? It's not even 1%. It's a minute fraction of 1%. You can't look at that and say, oh, dude, Oprah Winfrey and Michael Jordan doing pretty good. And a few other dancers and ball players and clowns and, you know, doing pretty good. No, you can't say that. You got to take the nation of people. And if you take the nation of people, true Israelites, the true descendants of Israel, not only here in the United States, but wherever they reside, whether that's in South America, Caribbean islands, on the mainland, mother continent, Africa, whether they were the remnants that were taken to Europe, and the UK and all this, if you look at them as a whole, the majority, you would see these curses, these penalties You could almost walk into a neighborhood or drive into a neighborhood of so-called Negro people, and you would pretty much see the same layout of the land, abandoned buildings, run down, impoverished, hideous living conditions. That's just outside looking in. If you want to go inside the numbers, you would see even bigger trouble. How many are on drug dependency, chemical dependency? How many are from torn homes, single parent homes, or even went through the foster care legal system? How many of the children are born out of wedlock? I'm going to read a few of those tonight. But you would just see it going on and on. It's a pattern. What is that pattern? It's called the penalties of breaking the covenant, called the curses. Okay, so that was the foundation we laid for tonight. We're going to go ahead and complete it on. But before we start, I'm going to purposely bring up Emma just to let her say hello, bless you for a few minutes, because we don't just want to keep going through real quick and next thing you know, we're out of time. So we're going to definitely bring up Ema. She is a blessing to us all. And Ema, at this time, we want to come on and let you come up, and we'll come back. And if you was willing, we'd go ahead and close this out tonight on our message to
all right.
Brothers, black men.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, I'm prepared to, at the moment, bring forward something for us all to think about, all to remember, because so many of us are trying to get ourselves in on purpose into situations that the Father does not want us to be in. Now, one of the things I want to talk about is Luke chapter 20, verse 34 and 35. That's Luke chapter 20, verse 34 and 35. And it reads in Luke 20, 34, and Yahusha answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage. And in 35 verse, it says, but they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. You see, that explains it right there. Some of us don't know this on automatic in our head, but we need to put this in our mind. Keep it in your mind. Remember this, that the heavenly beings are not married and they are not given in marriage. And if you are blessed to join the Father's will and to do what he asks you to do, when you're resurrected, you won't be getting married to anybody, and nobody will be giving you in marriage to anybody. And so you're going to be a, what we call these days, a single individual. We're all going to be doing Yah's work. And that's going to be the size of it. It's not going to be a whole bunch of other activities going on with us. It's just going to be, we're going to be resurrected, and we're not going to be getting married, it tells us here, and nor, which means we're not going to be given in marriage. Now, isn't that something? That's something very special, because a lot of us think that we're going to marry somebody, we're going to be married to them forever, and when and if we get to the what they call heaven, or the heaven is brought down here, which I do believe is going to happen. It tells us that in the word also. Then we're not going to be permitting ourselves into marriages and that kind of thing, because it's not going to be happening for us. When we wake up in the resurrection, we're going to know each other as we were known, but we're not going to be all that intertwined with each other on an individual basis. Now, let's go down to Revelation chapter 19, verse 7. Revelation 19, verse 7. Then from verse 7, we're going to see what he tells us. What he tells us, not everybody else, but what he tells us, what Yahuwah says in the Word, Revelation 19, verse 7. So go to that last book of the Bible, chapter 19, verse 7. He says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to who? To him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife has made herself ready. See, we as a people are going to be married to Yahuwah, the Father, in the name of his Son, Yahusha. We are not going to be married to each other. We're going to be brought in to him, precious person, okay? Men and women and children, we're all going to be brought in to the family of Yah. We're going to be family to him. We're family to him now in a different kind of way, but when Yahusha the Lamb comes back for his people, it's going to be all about him. It's not going to be about us. And see, that's what the problem has been. We have been so busy being about ourselves, we are not looking forward to being about being with Yah. Yahuwah is telling us, hey, it's going to be a whole new ball game. So keep that in mind as you're doing things. That's why I can't go into the Father's marriage through another person. We have to go in as an individual. We teach each other now and all that, but when we go in alone. We don't go in a couples or in a group of a family or in a group of people. We are going in to him alone. He will be judging us as individuals, not as a group of people. So no matter what group you're in, you still have to prepare for Yah for you to go in. No matter what craziness might be, a little edge of craziness might be in some of the leaders, but you need to keep you safe. You need to keep you in order. And that's what we have to concentrate on. Now, in Revelation 19, verse 9, it tells us, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of Yahuwah. You see, Yah is telling us, preparing that supper through the Lamb. The supper of the Lamb being Yahusha, the Messiah. He is telling us we are blessed if we come in unto the supper. But we're not going to be blessed if we're acting up and doing crazy things like, hey, man, I got to have me 5 wives. I think 5 is a good number. What you think? I mean, you know, you just can't get in there with that's all you're concentrating on is how many wives you can have. You can't do it. You need to be concentrating on you and your wife, because we, as the soldiers of Yah, we as the priesthood, most importantly, the priesthood of Yah, we need to keep it tight and keep it right. We need to have the one wife, because we don't have time to be doing everything and forgetting about the wives, or being so busy not doing Yah's work that we won't be worthy to get into the kingdom, because your mind is in other places. But he wants you to be able to have time, because your wife, the wife, will understand when you're busy doing Yah's work. She'll be busy doing the wife work. Who knows? If you get sick, she'll be busy taking care of you. If she gets sick, you'll be taking care of her, or making sure you get hire somebody to come in and help you take care of her. But you will be responsible for her, and she will be responsible for you. And if she cannot do everything she needs to do for you, then she may have to call in a little help. But that's what it's all about. We care for each other. We take care of each other. But we cannot do that if we're running around scatterbrained trying to do everything else. So when I saw that, I said, well, you know, this is why the Father didn't have it in my head that I need to prepare to have two or three other people called wives helping, because he tells us in the Word what? That the elder, since we are a priesthood, the elder will be a man that has one wife. And he says that to throw you a hint, to let you know that even if you are a young man, you're going to grow into what? Because hopefully, if he lets you live long enough, you'll grow into being an elder. And when you grow into being the elder, are you going to be looking at one wife, or are you going to have four or five of them? That's the question that is answered with the elder is the husband of one wife, which means all of the priesthood men really should only have one wife. And I believe that's why we were put in this country. Another reason is because, as Elder was saying a few minutes ago, we didn't want to obey. A lot of people in our group of the nation of Israel did not want to obey. And so they started doing it. If they thought they could afford a wife, they had an extra wife or two, they went ahead and got them an extra wife or two. Because if you're rich, you can get four or five wives and all that kind of stuff. That's why most of us are too empty-pocketed to get another two or three, four wives, okay, four or five of them. We can't do it because we cannot afford to do it. You are supposed to be able to take care of the wife and any children that she has for you. So that makes you have to work pretty hard, not the other way around. These young men these days, they want to get them another few wives so that they can have the women take care of them. What kind of mess is that on? The women are not supposed to take care of you financially, but you are supposed to take care of them. But so many times, the women have found that they have had to go to work. They have had to get up and go to work because the man has not died, but the man has left you by yourself. You are all by yourself, and you're looking at having to take care of the children, and that is what's going on. You have to take care of the children because they didn't ask to be brought into this world. You brought them in, the woman. And that's her job, to help take care of the children. But if the man has not died and left them without a husband, but the man that had the children with her has left and just, hey, could care less about his family, the scriptures tell us that the man is no good. I have to find that one for you next time, but the man is no good if he does not take care of his family. That's how important it is to be the man. You have to get up off your seat and go and find a job, if any way possible, something you can do to help take care of your family. And in times of trouble, the woman may have to go and get a job too. If her children are not too small, she can get up and help provide for the household. But the main thing is the man is supposed to be working somewhere to take care of his family. And that's what it's all about, taking care of each other, because that's what we need to be about. We need to show the rest of the world around us, the people that are around you, don't worry, they are looking at you closer than you think, and you need to be the good example. We need to be the examples. But instead, so much has gone wrong until a lot of us can't do that because we have been trained by our parents, and so many of our parents now have been off the right track for so long until we don't even train, you know, our people don't even train their children most of the time anymore to do anything. So we have to pull ourselves together, go get some training, and show our children how to work, get up, get some training, go to work, and work to take care of our children and put them, if we can, in a environment where they will appreciate learning how to take care of themselves. Because if we don't teach them, they're not going to learn it. It's just not going to be happening. So that's part of what I've had to say. Elder Yulia, if you're ready, we have about 20 to 25 minutes left to put the rest of your information in this evening. So if you are ready, I'm prepared to be off the mic. If not, I can continue. So just let me know.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Ima. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, we're going to, y'all willing, we're going to go ahead and push through and bring this to a summation, resolution. Now, this is just not all informational things we're going to give you. We're going to actually add, we're going to actually include some solutions. Some solutions. Hallelujah. Because the Most High is solution oriented. He don't just tell you all your good points and all your bad points and just leave it like that and say, okay, you know, lesson is over. No, he's going to supply solutions. It behooves all of us to take heed to those solutions, because one thing we didn't do is take heed to the covenant. You say, well, you know, I thought this message was geared toward the black man, you know. What went wrong with the black man and how can he get it together? Well, it's totally geared towards the black man. But we have to go forward and tell the story and to come up with solutions, you have to start at the foundation. And that's what we did last week, and we're pretty much coming to the ending phase of the foundation today. Foundation of what? How did we get to where we are? That's the foundation. How did we get to where we are? We're going to talk about how we need, what we need to do to go to where we want to go. But we have to talk first about how did we get to where we are. So we know there was a covenant. Hallelujah. And we know that covenant was made with one people, one tongue, one group, one tribe. And that was the descendants of Israel. And it was made between Israel, the people, and the Most High, creator of heaven and earth, with servant Moshe, Moses, being the go-between, being the agent. And if we obeyed, these things would happen, these good things, these blessings, these benefits. If we disobeyed, these bad things, these penalties, these curses will go into effect. And as we saw in Daniel chapter 9, verse 11, we did not obey. Okay? So, again, real quick, if you're looking for, if you're a little foggy on the subject and you say, you know, I want to do my research, I got to observe around, I got to look around the world and try to see who are the true people of Israel. You don't look exhibiting these so-called benefits, these blessings that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. What you do look at is people who are exhibiting these penalties, these curses, in same chapter, Deuteronomy 28, beginning at verse 15. all the way through the end, verse 68. What's some of them real quick? We're going to get out of this this foundational phase here. It says, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah, to do all of his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, all of these curses, he's not going to leave one out, all of these penalties, all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall thou be in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. See, it's following pattern, pretty much just opposite of what the blessings were. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flock of thy sheep. Cursed shall thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shall thou be when thou goest out. Okay? Curses, curses, curses. Let's do a few more particular ones just to narrow in so you can say, man, I see that. I see that all over the place. Okay, it's not these people. I know it can't be these people. Oh, and it's not these people either. But these people here, oh my goodness, it fits every one of them. Verse 29, it says, and thou shalt grope at noonday. See, we lost our way. He gave us a way. We lost our way. You know you're groping, you're looking for something. As a blind person gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy way. So who walks around in the middle of the day just aimlessly looking like they don't have a way? Just go to any large city and go to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard or Avenue, and you'll see, fortunately, our black brothers, even some sisters, groping in the noonday. You say, that person should be out working. What are they doing just walking around aimlessly or standing on a street corner, liquor store corner, middle of the day, groping in the noonday. No aim, no purpose. Just lost, just like you're blind. It says, and thou shalt not prosper in all thy way, and thou shalt be only oppressed. Boy, you're not getting the picture now. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. Even when we get a little money, it seems like it goes right back to sender. But evermore, and no man shall save thee. No man's going to be able to redeem you out of this condition because the Most High put you there, and only he could redeem you. Listen to this. Let's keep going. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Boy, y'all watch those old movies, Roots and all those. Toby married a wife. Kizzy, I think. Well, you don't just have to go Toby and Kizzy. Just about anybody back then, any time the master or his friends or his visitors, any of those women, whether they married or not, could be used to pleasure master and his guests or his boys. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell in it. Who do you think built the White House? It was built on slave labor. It says, thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. You need to go no further and read Dr. Claude Anderson's book, Black Labor, White Wealth. You'll see who built the country on whose back, the wealth, but who's benefiting from that labor. That's why I said, thou shalt plant a vineyard and shall not gather the grapes. You're not gonna reap the benefits of that vineyard. You're gonna do the labor. We're still doing the labor. We're working these big companies and making profits, millions, billions of dollars profit. And comparatively, we're penalized, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thy donkey shall be violently taken away from before thy face and shall not be restored to thee. They did take it and won't give it back. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. You have no recourse to get your belongings back. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people. What happened when they one or two for any reason at all, tell you all. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. It seems like there's been no might in our hand as a people to change our condition, to stand up against our enemy. Whether we're getting gunned down in the street, that marching ain't doing nothing, you know, and talking and cursing ain't doing nothing. Shaking your fist up ain't doing that. It's no real might. Nothing that makes things change. Things. There's no real might. It's a lot of superficial going on, led by their hand-picked leaders. The Sharpton, Jackson, all these people that they put up there, the so-called, talking about we shall overcome. Never overcame, not in this country, not in these lands of our captivity, never overcame. Yes, we're still talking about the black man. We're talking about the foundation. So you can see what's been going on. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt only be oppressed and crushed. Hallelujah. Verse 37, and thou shalt become an astonishment. This is the scripture verse I was looking for. And thou shalt become an astonishment. And people looking at you, gazing at you like, what the heck is wrong with these people? They just can't get it together. A proverb and a byword. 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 Okay, Negro, colored, black, African-American, colored, black, go on. But have they called you Israel yet? Everything else they called you was a byword. They didn't call you by your true nationality. You'd be a byword among all nations and tongues. Whither Yahuwah shall send thee. Thou shalt carry, let's go to verse 41 for time's sake. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them. For they shall go, listen, for they shall go into captivity. Hallelujah. Okay, last verses here, starting at verse 43, the stranger that is within thee, within your wall, within the borders of the countries that we were driven to, stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high. We got these nations coming in, whether they come in from Korea, India, Ireland, it doesn't matter. Italy, all these nations come here. South America, Mexico. They say they shall come here and they shall get up above thee. Very high. I talked to my wife and say, my goodness, these Mexican restaurants, we drive there and we can't even find a place to park. These people ain't suffering no penalties. They not suffering no penalties or no curses. I can't even find a place to park. I don't care. Even the food ain't that good. It's just bustling, booming inside there. You go in there, people just move at speed of light. They're so busy. These nations, they're coming up, getting above us very high. Or a little black restaurant, even if their food is good. First of all, a lot of the other nations don't even want to patronize it. They know the food is good. Now, I'm not talking about the few outliers. You know, I think for every outlier, I bet you could find 100, 1,000 ones who fit my example. First of all, they can't get the other nations. They say, well, why didn't you tell the nations? Well, don't we patronize the other nations? What's wrong with getting something in return? Money is money. So they don't get the other nations. And then the few customers they get from their own people, they're always looking for a bargain. Or the flip side, they sell their products too high. You know, because they have to they don't join associations to get their prices down, so they got to sell their goods and services too high. And so what happened in return? Our people can't afford it, and they got to go to the stranger. It's a bad deal all the way down the line. So that's 43. Listen, it says, he shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. So who's the lenders? Who's the borrowers? We're usually the borrowers, pretty much always the borrowers. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all of these curses, all these penalties, shall come upon thee and pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed. Destroyed as a nation. Not talking about all killed off. Destroyed as a nation. A cohesive nation. What a cohesive nation? They have a culture, a language, a religion. I don't want to use that word religion, but just for understanding's sake, the spirituality, the relationship between the people and their mighty one. They're called our. We don't call the Most High God. We call them Yah and Yahuwah. Okay, so we had a culture. We had our own spirituality. We had our own economy. We had our own language. Our own history. On and on. Our own culture. So that's when you're a cohesive nation. Curse is going to pursue you and just wreak havoc so much till you be destroyed as a cohesive nation. So what you're not going to have then? You're not going to have your culture. You're not going to have your history. You're not going to have your language. That's why we don't even know where we come from. You know, they try to act like our history just started in with slavery. Oh, no. It goes on way before that. So, but we're going to lose it. Jeremiah 17 and 4 said you were going to be discontinued from your heritage. You're going to forget about it. You got people in the Middle East that people look up to. They're supposed to be able to trace their culture all the way back hundreds of thousands of years. I mean, thousands of years or whatever. Even though a lot of it is a lie because they skip over the Khazarian part of it, which in the 8th century, a big thing happened, the conversion to Judaism. That's another discussion. Okay, but it says, why? He's going to destroy us as a cohesive nation? Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of Yahuwah, thy mighty one, to keep his commandments and his statutes. So it says, these curses shall be upon thee for those reasons. In verse 46, and they shall be upon thee, talking about these penalties, these curses, for a sign. Well, show me a sign that y'all are really the people. Now, I didn't say this. This is what the Most High said. These curses shall be upon thee, upon this people, upon these people, for a sign and for a wonder and upon their descendants forever. Upon thy seed, upon thy descendants, it shall be upon them through the generation. Say, show me a sign. I want proof. Show me a sign. Well, you read the word and read the word. What the word says about what the sign will be, what the proof will be. Sign, proof. What do you want to find? You want a sign for proof. That's what people ask for a sign for. Well, I don't know if that's right. Show me some kind of sign so I could know. Well, he sends you a sign. He's saying, they shall be upon thee, verse 46, for a sign. Don't say he didn't give you a sign of who his people will be. Read verse 45 and 46 together. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and they shall be upon thee for a sign. There's your proof. For a wonder. Upon the descendants forever. He tells us why again. Because thou servest not Yahuwah thy mighty one with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore, thou shalt serve thine enemies, which Yahuwah shall bring against thee. Who are we serving? If we don't say, now this racist go around. We're not racist. This Yahuwah said, he called them by this title. You're going to serve your enemies. He called them enemies. You're going to serve your enemies, which I'll sin against thee for your disobedience. I shall send them against thee in hunger and in thirst. You're going to serve them in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness in one of all things. You're going to be dependent on these people. You want a car. You won't make your own car. They're going to make it. You're going to pay for it. You want education. You go to their school systems and let them give you their education, their miseducation. You even want toilet tissue to help you with your bodily function. You don't even make your own toilet tissue. You got to go to a company they manufacture. You got to pay for it. You're going to be in one, your clothing, most of it. Not talking about the outliers. I know some sisters there, and even some brothers may know how to sew, do tailoring work. But for the most of us, you want clothes, you look for them. I don't even know these designer names, but people brag on Tommy Hilfiger and all this. You go to buy their clothes. You're going to serve them in one of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck. You're going to be burdened and oppressed until you be destroyed as a cohesive nation. Way to the end. And you shall bring thee into Egypt again. Egypt, bondage, house of bondage. We're going to go into bondage again. By way whereof I spake unto thee that thou shalt see it no more again. He said, you're going to go into Egypt again, this time in ships, slave ships. He said, he didn't say slave ships. Yes, he did, because look, that's what you're going to be, slave men and slave women. Keep reading. You're going to go into Egypt this time with slave ships. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies, call them enemies, for bond men and bond women. What is that today? For slave men and slave women. And nobody's going to be able to redeem you out of this. That's the foundation. That's the foundation. So, Mr. Black Man, told you we're not going to do that, you know, hit you over the head with a stick approach, because scriptures say all have sinned and come short of the majesty, the esteem of the Most High. So we're going to do a truth approach. He told the foundation, so we know the foundation that we're sitting on. And why we focus on men? Because we are the leaders. Don't women do wrong? Oh, they do wrong. Yes. Scheming, killing, cheating, everything. Whoring. You can name it. Just like the men do. Ua has an order. He does everything decently and in order. Man is the head of the woman. Even as our Mashiach is the head of man. So, let's go into scripture. It says, message to the black man, your false pride is your downfall. False pride. Our foundational scripture for tonight is Romans 12:3. It says, for I say, through the grace, favor that's given unto me, to every man that is among you, listen closely, because this is one of our big thieves. This is one of our big errors. All of what we just talked about and shown in scripture, we're below, we're not above. We're the borrower, we're not the lender. But through all that, we still have this pride. That's why it's called false pride. Message to the black man, your false pride is your downfall. It's not based in reality. Scripture says in Romans 12:3, that every man to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. Look at, assess your situation. from the standpoint of reality, what's where you really are. I don't care if you're making $2 an hour or $50 an hour, where you really are in the scheme of things, in this Babylonian world, you're at the bottom if you didn't know. You could puff up your chest, you could hit the gym, you could pump iron, get your body intact. You could have girls looking at you, but where are you at the end of the day? In societal terms, you're at the bottom. And we just, how you got to the bottom and why you're still at the bottom. See, but you're looking in the fleshly mindset. You're in the mindset of the flesh. And you have grand delusions about yourself that are not accurate. Like we said last week, they're not based in reality. They're not based upon your Uwa's assessment of you. Uwa has, his assessment is true. Your false assessment, your pride is not true. It's delusional. You walk around like you're above only and not beneath. Scripture says you're the opposite. You're walking around like you're the lender and not the borrower. Scripture says you're the opposite. A couple more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. You know, all this catering to the flesh. Well, at least we got the women, with, you know, boasting in the flesh. Flesh and blood. 1 Corinthians 15 and 50. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of Yahuwah. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. No matter how high you try to go in your flesh, you're going to reach a dead end. It's not going to get you to pay dirt. It's not going to get you to your highest point, to your highest goal, which should be eternal life. And that life is only in the Most High through his son, Yahushua HaMashiach. 4 and 8. And this goes right into this illusion of the flesh. It says bodily exercise. Some brothers spend 8 hours a day in the gym. I work out. There's nothing wrong with working out. But you got to put it in perspective. In the big scheme of things, is it the top priority or should it be a top priority? Well, we're going to see. It says bodily exercise profited little. Didn't say much. Didn't say you should put as much energy and attention at the body as you do in the spirit. It says no. Left. It says it profited little. Didn't say you shouldn't do it at all, but put it in its right place. We walk around like that's the thing. I finally got cut, got the six-pack. I've arrived. It's profited little. It says, but righteousness is profitable unto all things. Turning back to that covenant. We're going to see that's the solution, black man. Returning to that covenant. See, I'm putting a different spin. I'm putting a spin of truth on this. You hear a lot of conscious brothers. And they'll say, yeah, we need to get our economy together. And some say, our women need to get behind us. They need to submit more, and they need to do this. It's nothing wrong with none of those things, economy. And some will say, we need to just, you know, scrap all the white man's system and get our own, you know. I think the Muslims back in the day, at least, they wanted a Nation of Islam. If I'm correct, not I stand corrected, but I heard where, I believe it was the Nation of Islam, at least back in the day, they wanted a certain section of the United States. I believe it was the Northwest, around that Washington area, and have the black people start their own nation around there, separate from the other people. Okay? They thought that was the answer. See, none of these things worked out. Some people think that, you know, because we could just get our reparations, we'll be all right. Now, what would people do with reparations You got some brothers who are killers. You got some brothers who are rapists. I'm just going to tell the truth. You got some brothers who are whoremongers. You know, they ain't trying to be faithful to nobody. They don't want to get married. They want to go around and plant their seed. And, and so we give everybody reparations. So somehow everything is going to be all right. Nobody's heart is getting converted. Nobody's turning to this covenant. Stay in our own simple state. Just give me money. Just throw money at it. Think about that, brother. Instead of being a poor whoremonger, we just be a rich whoremonger for a minute. I mean, with our history, the money would be used up real quick. Get the money in 2022, January, and by December, 90% of it be gone. All you see is a bunch of fancy cars going down the street and big customized houses. Come on now. Let's keep going. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12, it says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them. See, that's why I say when you base your strategy in the flesh, you're delusional if you think you're going to come out successful. It's telling you how that's going to be delusional. It says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, do you think you don't have to change the spirit, the heart? You think you could keep it unrighteous, unregenerate? It says, in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, his word, that they might be saved. It says, and for this cause, Yahuwah shall send them strong delusion. Told you, your ways without the Most High is delusional. If you think we're going to achieve utopia, if we're going to turn this thing around as a race of people, as a nation of people, without turning back to the Most High, you're delusional. It says, Yahuwah shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Yahuwah says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Father, but by me. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. So you think you could bypass Yahuwah. Think you could bypass the word of Yahuwah and still regain your prominence, become the head and not the tail, become the lender and not the borrower. Scripture says you're delusional. And he says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, you rejecting the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You know why you don't want to do it Yahuwah's way? Because you have pleasure in unrighteousness. You don't want to depart from the pleasure of sin, of unrighteous living, cheating, stealing, misusing, whoremongering. You don't want to turn from the pleasures of sin. And you will never achieve success as a nation of people until we turn from sin. Remember, that covenant, we signed the deal. That covenant is not going nowhere. And as long as we're reneging on it, we're going to keep suffering the penalties. Only when we return back to it, confess that we were wrong, will we see our condition change. Romans 12 and 3. First scripture I read, Romans 12 and 3, where it says, no man should think higher of himself than he ought, this false pride. Just want to read it in a different version this time. That was the King James I read initially. This is amplified, and how foolish it is to think in the flesh. It says, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance and self-worth. A lot of brothers walking around, man. We too puffed up in pride, false pride. Our pride is false. It's not based in reality. The Most High assessment of how we really are. It's in based in assessment in our imagination. This is who we long to be, not who we are. We're putting our importance way above what it really is. At the bottom, but walking around like we're at the top, test pushed out everything. Not hasn't gotten us anywhere through generations. We have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance and self-worth. He said, don't think that way. But to rate his ability with sober judgment, that's what we need to do. Same scripture, one more version. The Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. This is the third witness. I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. I like this scripture. It just got right to it. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves. How do you be honest? Evaluate yourself through the same lenses that the Most High is using to evaluate you. Oh, you come down to reality then. You come down to reality, brothers. I'm going to just give an assessment through a few more scriptures, and we're going to call it a night. But we're going to give solutions. Bear with me just a few more minutes. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, this is the time I'm going to read a short little report of the African-American structure to show even while we were suffering the curses, the penalties, how even a few decades ago, we were in a better moral position. And therefore, a better moral position, we were in a better financial position. We were stronger in a better community position. That means the dollar circulated around the community more times than it does today. That's why our communities are so impoverished today. The dollar doesn't circulate at all. Children, 5 decades ago, the majority were born in wedlock, not out of wedlock. Well, let's just read the report. The family structure of African Americans have long been a matter of national public policy interest. A 1965 report by Daniel Patrick Moynihan, he was a New York senator, known as the Moynihan Report, examined the link between black poverty and family structure. See, there's a link between poverty, black poverty, and the family structure. Yeah, our family's pretty much been destroyed. So you can see how that has impoverished us. It hypothesized that the destruction of the black nuclear family structure would hinder further progress toward economic and political equality. It says, when Moynihan wrote in 1965 on the coming destruction of the black family, listen to these figures. When he wrote that report in 1965, and the report was talking about the destruction of black family, the coming destruction, crack hadn't hit at that time. All this drive-by and foolishness. He didn't have hip-hop back then. Oh, man, I'm going to really get heat for that. Hip-hop lovers. It says, 1965, the out-of-wedlock birth rate was 25% among black people. Okay? Flip that around. 25% out of wedlock, that means, what would make up 100? 75. So that means 75% of the birth rate among black people was in wedlock, not out of wedlock. Look at that. Look at that. Almost 80% was in wedlock. That's 65. In 1991, 68%. In 1991, 68% of black children were born outside of marriage, outside of wedlock. In 2011, it keeps going up. In 2011, 72% of black babies were born to unmarried mothers.
Wow. Look how it's fallen. 1965 to 2011. While the 2018 National Vital Statistical Report provides a figure of 69.4% for this condition. So that's two different reports. It says among all newlyweds, 10% of Black Americans in 2015 married non-Black spouses. Wow. We talked about last week, Yahuwah said he would make us above all the nations, man and woman. So let's see, men, if our women are above all the other women, Why are we dipping down, looking down to get somebody who's below? It's just according to scripture. We're dipping down to get someone that's below. Okay, so 18% of Black Americans in 2015 married non-Black spouses. 24% of all Black male newlyweds, that's almost 25%, in 2015 married outside their race. Almost 25% of newly married Black men in 2015 married outside their race, compared with 12% of Black female newlyweds. So 12% of Black women 2015 married outside of their race. White women in 1990. Okay, so they're marrying other races, non-Black, Hispanic, Asian, whatever. I got another little chart here, and it shows the peaks and valleys here. So it looks like it had got up to 75% in 1965 of all newly born children were inside of wedlock in the Black family. Well, it was even higher than that in 1965. I'm looking at this chart. It dipped to around 20%. So this must be around 18% year of that, between 1940 and 1950. So, I mean, I can't see the exact year on this chart, this bar chart. So it's probably safe to say it's around 18%. What year was this? Probably is between 1940 and 1950. So let's just say between those two, 1945. Let's just put in the middle there. So around 1945, for the Black family, 18%, only 18%. So that, what did that make it? About 82% were born in wedlock. That was high. It looked like that was higher than the Caucasians at that time. We were a marrying people back then, just from the 1940s up through the 1960s. People been born out of wedlock, wouldn't all these hookups and, you know, unwanted pregnancies, things like that. And, you know, it looks like a long time ago, 1945 to 1965, but in light of history, that's nothing. That's a blink of the eye. But that's how far we've fallen, brothers. And here's, I'm going to point out one of our chief culprit that we have to turn around, especially brothers, turn this around. Because this is what we do. So this is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. Now, all sin is sin, but some sins we have a special propensity toward. You know, drunkards, they like their alcohol. Dope fiends, they like their crack or their heroin or whatever. Gluttons, they love their food. You know, they said Yahusha was a gluttoner and a wine bibber. That's like an alcoholic, which, you know, it wasn't true, but people call you names. This thing is true for us, though. 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, brothers, this is what we got to get out of. Because it's harmless. And it affects those statistics we just talked about. Verse 9, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous, those breaking these covenants, you know, when we sin and transgress against the Most High's law, it says that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of Yahuwah. Do not be deceived. Don't worry about how it looks on television and radio and how everybody's talking about it. The college, you know, people think you're a fool and you're old fogey if you act like this is old fashioned. This is what this is how we live today. That's the old stuff. That's back in the Bible days. Well, look how it's destroyed us as a cohesive nation. And this sin here has done us in more than anything. It's a do not deceived. Listen to the first one on the list. This is a list of sins. Listen to the first one. It says neither fornicators, that's whoremongering, brother, that's sexual relations outside of the marriage covenant, outside of marriage. And we have just went berserk on that. We just went crazy on that. The sisters are committing the two. This was dedicated to the men. We're getting the men right. Fornication, that's the first on the list. It says neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that homosexuality. We're not holding no punches. It says nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous people. Always coveting, wanting more. Looking at somebody else's house, want more. Nor drunkards. You could extend that through all chemical dependency. Alcohol, other substance abuse. Crack, heroin, marijuana, everything. We want altered state. You know. Nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of Yahuwah. Okay? So it put special emphasis on that. And if you didn't get it then, you're going to get it now. Because let's go to verse 13. It says, meat for the belly, and the belly for meat. It says, but Yahuwah shall destroy both it and them. Listen here. Now the body is not for fornication. Your body is not to fornicate. Your body is not to engage in sexual relations with people who you're not married to. Men. But since we're talking to men, your body is to not engage in sexual activity with anyone outside of your wife, with anyone other than your lawfully wedded wife. It says, now the body is not for fornication, but for Yahuwah. Our body is to be used for service for Yahuwah. And it says, Yahuwah for the body. We're going to keep going. It says, Yahuwah hath both raised up. We're going to keep. Let's go to verse 15. Know ye not that your body are the members of Mashiach? It says, shall I then take the members of Mashiach and make them members of an harlot? Because that's what you're doing. When you're going out having sexual activities outside of the covenant, which is outside of marriage, it's like you're taking the temple, your body, the temple of the Most High, and you're whoring it out. It's like you're being with a harlot. It's a Yah forbid. And say, what? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? So they're with you. If that other person's with you, if that woman's with you, she's playing the role of a harlot because she's not your wife. But when you join your body to a harlot, you become one flesh. You was looking at you. It's one flesh. For the two says he shall be one flesh. So it's like you're taking something precious. Your temple, your body, which your spirit dwells, joining it with the harlot. That's bad news. That's bad news. It says, flee fornication, verse 18. Avoid it. Run from it. Turn around. It says, every sin that a man doeth is without the body. It means they're outside the body. But he that committed fornication, when you're having sexual relations outside of the marriage covenant, he that committed fornication sinned against his own body. It says, know you not that your body is a temple of Yahuwah's spirit, which is in you, which ye have of Yahuwah. He said, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. It says, therefore, magnify Yahuwah in your body and in your spirit. Brothers, that's our besetting sin. You can read the testimony of the patriarchs, read about Judah, whose lineage we are from, and you will see Judah had the same problem that most of us have. Whoremonger got him into trouble. Whoremongering and drinking too much. That's what we like to do. Whoremong and drink too much. Brother, we need to get it together. Not only should we stop the whoremongering and the altered states, because it goes beyond just drinking, any alteration, smoking marijuana, using other illegal recreational drugs, we need to turn around and give that all up and go back to the covenant. That's the only way we're going to get it right. We signed, so the covenant is just not going to disappear. We signed the dotted line. Our forefathers' names are inscribed on that document, and we are still either suffering the benefits or enjoying the benefits. According to Daniel 9 and 11, we are suffering the penalties, the curses. There's a way we could get that right. He gave us a remedy. This is how we get it right, brother. This is how we get it right. I know the scripture by heart, but just, it's so important. I want to make sure I make no mistake. I want to quote it verbatim. This is our black brother, Israelite brother. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Is that simple? Yes. This is just like that covenant in Exodus 19 was foundational. That's where it started. This is our restoration foundation. This is where our restoral. This is our foundational restoral to go back. This is it. 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, if we're his people, who are his people? The people he made the covenant with. He says, if my people, the ones I made the covenant with, covenant is still active. He says, and remember, Daniel says, we turned our back. We got to repent. That means we got to turn back again. Don't have your back turned toward against him. Turn towards him. Turn your face back towards him. He shouldn't be looking at your back. He should be looking at your face. We should be on our face repenting. It says, if my people, we're his people, which are called by my name, we call them Yah, we call them Yahuwah. He says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, look at your condition and assess it. Assess it through Yah's lenses. A true assessment of our condition. Not y'all, you all puffed up. Look how I look in the mirror. I finally got some benefits. Got my muscles going on. Got my six pack. That's nothing. Bodily exercise profited little. It ain't changed none of your people's condition. You got to humble yourself. You were at the bottom when you came into this world. You're at the bottom as a people. Now, stop looking at the outlier. Truth be told, they're that shooting the ball and getting $1 million, that's nothing. They're not going to pass on any wealth. That's not generational wealth, and it won't be. Live long enough to see if their black descendants, their black family members get anything. If those, that generation, it'd be passed, that wealth be passed down 2-3 generations. No, it won't. Look no further than Sammy Davis, James Brown, Prince, Michael Jackson. look no further. That's why I say humble yourself. Get off your high horse. Humble yourself. Look at your condition where you are. Say, I'm at the bottom because I turned my back on the Most High. People broke the covenant. He says, if you humble yourself, see your condition, what you really are, and pray. Talk to him about it. Tell him the truth that you're a mess, that you're at the bottom, and why you're at the bottom. Because you take pleasure in sin, and you're suffering the penalties for that sin, for breaking his covenant. You say, pray and seek my faith. Seek his help. Know that he's the only one. You say, no man shall redeem you out of this situation. No, he's the only one that can redeem you, that can turn your situation around. And then what you do, turn from your wicked ways. Repent. Make a vow in your heart that you're going to give up sin, that you're going to give up walking in sin. The fleeting pleasures of sin for a season. That's what they are. They're fleeting. That's why I say Moshe chose to suffer with his people instead of enjoying the fleeting pleasures of sin for a season. He made the right call. He made the right call. That's why Moses, kingdom bound. He says, turn from your wicked ways. Forget all the whoremongering, all the drinking, the smoking, you know. I'm talking about all the mind altering things, chemical dependency, all those things that break the covenant. Sin. Turn from sin, from transgressing his laws and commandments. Turn from that. He said, if you do that, he says, then, is conditional. He said, if you do those things, he said, then will I hear from heaven. He'll hear your prayers from his throne in heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That means he's heal their land. He's going to restore us to our proper position. What was our position? We were supposed to be kings and priests, a nation of kings and priests, a set apart. We weren't supposed to emulate nobody. They were to emulate us when we're walking in his righteousness. That's how we come back. That's how we come back to our greatness, to our dignity. And that's when we'll be restored as a nation, as a cohesive nation. Black man, Israelite, that's our only hope. That's the road to victory. And if we get it right, the women will follow. We are the head. Y'all say the head of every woman is the man, and the head of every man is Mashiach, the Usha HaMashiach. We got to get it right. We got to walk with our brother, Yahusha. We got to get it right. We got to walk like he walked. Turn from your sins, brother. That's the solution to us as black men. Hallelujah. Come on up, Iman.
All right. Hallelujah. Excellent, Elder. Excellent. That's what we do here. We try and give information to our family that will get them closer to Yah. Hallelujah on that. Now, since the program has come to an end this evening, we are going to go ahead and play a song for our way out. Here we go.
Hello, it's going to be righteous around here. It's a new fruit world order. Yeah. Stretch out the commandments over there. So the world can see. The shy about to rule for 1,000 years here on earth. And the Hebrew Israelites about to rule with
it. It's about to be a new government. It's about to be a new government. The Hebrew Israelites about to be in charge.
Your line of all the
about to be a new government. The Hebrew Israelites about to rule the Messiah forever and ever.
We don't need captains
and lieutenants.
We need some captains and lieutenants
to maintain this order in this new structure.
Yeah.
A new structure will be given a station to rule in righteousness.
Straight righteousness. Other nations over there.
And line them up. Cause they are about to be our amazing servants. It's about to be a change around here.
Yeah.
Hebrew royalty everywhere. They bringing all our real
on back.
Back to us.
About to be a new covenant.
Yeah.
About to be a new covenant. The Hebrew Israelites about to be
wickedness in this
kingdom,
no evilness. This is what we do for sure.
A new government.
See, when King David used to rule, it was cold. But when Yeshua come back, it's gonna be something new.
It's gonna be something new. A new government.
Y'all get ready.
We're
gonna be kings and queens.
King and queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ain't gonna be nothing like it.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Like it.
You know, we're gonna have love everywhere.
Yeah.
And only the righteous gonna be in this place. Yeah.
Ooh.
We'll have a new government.
Got to be a new government.
Yeah. I'ma have me about 1,000 servants.
The Hebrew Israelites about to rule Yeshua forever and ever. A new government.
Yeah, they gonna be serving us, man.
Yeah.
So don't get mad while they, you know, tripping on you right now. They gonna be bowing down in a minute.
Hey.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Just say it like it is. That's what it's all about. Okay. Thank you, Elder, for being on here giving the word of Yah out. And I guess it's time to call it an evening. Shabbat.
Time to say goodnight.
Oh, I'm not saying Shabbat. Shalom, shalom, family.
Shalom, family. Shalom.